we started conversations on urgency, and I said that not many people know how to be swift and fast. Not many people. So you find out that they simply just play around until the time's over, and then they have to start blaming somebody and saying, "You are the cause of this, my predicament. You are the reason why this happened. You are the reason why so-and-so happened." But that's wrong. It's just that people did not treat as urgent, as, you know, they didn't learn to treat things urgently. And I said, even when it comes to the work of a ministry, there is an urgency to it. So today I'm going to be speaking in a certain regard concerning urgency, right? There is an urgency to responding to the call. The moment you shift it off to another time, remember, God is not going to be waiting for you. The world is a very fast-moving place. I'm telling you, if you were caught up in prison, for example, let's say a year, you will be amazed of how when you step out of prison, there are so many new things that would have happened in a short while in a year that will amaze you. It means that the world is fast moving. There's a fast moving pace of how the world moves. And so sometimes not many people know how to be swift and to flow with this fast moving paced world. Right, we're not moving according to the patterns of the world, but believers must understand this also, that they must not be slow. They must not be slow. They must not be slow. Now, I don't wait for people. I don't wait for somebody to agree with me that, okay, what you are doing is the right thing, or what you are saying is the right thing, so I want to really hear you. No, if you're not hearing me, that's fine. Right? I move on quickly. Because not even God waits for me. So, we all, as a people, as I teach you, will learn to place premium on being swift and fast and demanding. Right? It has to be seen. That urgency needs to be seen with you. You have to be swift and fast. Right? Today we're going to look at liturgy. You know what it means to be liturgic? You know what it means to be liturgic? You see, you are apathetic. You are sluggish. You know, a liturgic person is somebody who is low of energy and is always tired. It's another kind of is an antonym to somebody who is urgent. It's to be lethargic. It's like you are slow. You are sluggish. Sometimes liturgy can be seen in inactivity. So while there are so many activities going on, you seem to be just sluggish and slow at it. See, we are doing this. You see someone dragging, you know, his feet or her feet. And we're not going to wait for anybody. We're not going to sit there and say, we need this person. No, if you join us, join us. We are moving. The train is moving. If you join us, move out. We are moving. Right? So sometimes people are generally sluggish, generally not too interested. And that's not a good sign. Even God does not love it this way. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14. I want to read in a different rendition. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So, all of these would teach the believer to see things as urgent. You know what it means to redeem the time? It's to know what season you are in, and then you start working as though you had some time to accomplish that which God has laid on your heart or what God has called you to do. So, in doing this, in Ephesians, he says, you will be known as somebody who knows how to redeem the time, because the days are evil. The days are full of evil. And we do not have that much time on our hands as a ministry. Do you understand? Yes. I remember hearing a statement from Kenneth Hagin Jr. I was told the day Kenneth Hagin died, you know, when he stood on the pulpit, you know what he said? He said, we never thought this day will come. Yeah. And sometimes I think about it. Kenneth Hagin Jr. said, we never thought this day will come. Do you know Kenneth Hagin? He died at a good age, wonderful age. But I'm telling you, they never thought that this time will come. Now, imagine God had called him into the work of a ministry, and he had till 86 years to do what God had called him to do. But he just goes around and is not doing what God has called him to do. It means that when the time comes for him to, you know, just stand before God and lay account of what he would have done, he would not have not much to say. Yeah. He would not have much to say. So he stood there. Kenneth Hagin Jr. says, we never thought this day will come. And not many people know how and what it means to redeem the time. Not many people know how to redeem time. They feel they can still do everything at last minute. He come back to say, God, I'm giving my heart to you. That's not true. That's not something you can do. So Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus and telling them, please, do not be inactive. Don't be sluggish. Don't be sluggish. Be people that know what time and what season you are in. And make sure that you are learning very hard to redeem the time. Redeeming the time. One of the days I was coming back from evangelism. It was almost 12 a.m. in the morning. I mean, from Legon. And while I was going home, I saw these ants in a very long queue. You know, they were in a long queue. So I kept on walking and seeing them. I was like, hey. It was dark at 12 a.m., maybe 12 and a little over 12. And you could see that they were carrying, I put my torchlight on and I saw them, and they were carrying things. They were moving around. Most of them were carrying some, I don't know what they were even carrying, rice particles, things in the queue. Some were going, some were coming. So I just showed my torchlight right on them. And I said, hey, that's redeeming the time. That's redeeming the time. Because there is a time and there is a season ahead of them. They will not be able to do what they're supposed to do. So you see them. Hey, something that I'm telling you, you not think they can carry. You see two, three, they've come together. It's like they are suffering. But these young creatures are still carrying the thing. Yeah, when you see them, sometimes they are suffering. If you like, go and when you see an you know, I don't know what they call it, whether an ant path or an ant road or something, you see that three of them will come together. And sometimes they will pick it as if they don't know where they are going, but they are still moving forward. So these animals, no one in the Proverb tells us to learn from the ants, those who are sluggish, dull, and inactive. Just go and learn from the ant. Take lessons from these creatures. So believers are supposed to be working like this, knowing that the time that they have, that the time frame is very little a time frame we have. And they're supposed to be moving in that direction. They're not moving. They're just jollying. So we can do some other things. Let's look for money. Let's look for money. When we get money, we'll now serve the Lord. When we are prosperous, we will now serve God. We will now serve God. But they did not know that there is a time and there is a season coming. They will not be able to do any work. So he says that, don't walk circumspectly. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. So people who are wise are people who know they have a time frame. Me, I know I have a time frame. Yeah. That I must work for the Lord. The next 6 years, if the Lord comes and you've not done anything. You have a time frame. You must work with that mentality. Have you realized that when you wake up in the mornings, and you don't work within a time frame, you end up leaving the house late? Have you realized that? It's like you just have a free, open mind. Like, oh, you are fine. Oh, you are okay. You know, I'm okay. Why should I take why should I be in a hurry while I take my bath? I'm just fine. So you see that, you just wake up, you're just lobbying around, just one water, you go to heat, you stand there, you are sleeping in the heater room, you put your head on the table small, you sleep, and all this while in your mind you're thinking it's just 3 to 5 minutes I've used. You have been standing there for almost 15 minutes. Then maybe you come to the bathroom, you are just slow, sluggish, you are just pouring the water, you just finish, like you just check the time, shake my eye, they pay me, see that, hey, what have I done? But I woke up early. I woke up early. I woke up 6:30. Normally I'm supposed to leave the house by 6:45, 7 o'clock. What's happening? And you realize that you were not redeeming the time. Do you see that? So the time, since the time is not waiting for you, by the time you get to realize, oh, time is already gone. Time is already gone. So, did you know actually that you can get ready within a time frame of 10 minutes? Yeah. Including the ladies, everybody, not only the men. The lady, you can get ready within a time frame of 10 to 15 minutes. You can get ready. You start going to the bathroom quickly. You bath quickly. You towel yourself quickly. Come and do the, you do your roll on quickly. Wear your singlet quickly. Wear your trousers quickly. Buckle up quickly. Wear your shirt quickly. While you're brushing, it's like you're polishing halfway quickly. You see, you're redeeming the time. In 10 to 15 minutes, you'll be done. But the sluggish man will use an hour to prepare and be late where he's going again. The Lord is making you wise. The Lord is making you wise. So you can walk circumspectly, knowing that there is a time frame that you must get busy with the work of a ministry. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep. Tell your neighbor, don't be asleep. Don't be asleep. Don't sleep. Don't sleep. But he says, watch and be sober. The word sober is to be calm and circumspect. You know what you are looking for is to be sober. You are circumspect. You are thoughtful. Right? So while you go about your normal lifestyle and activities, while you go about your normal activities of work, life, no, be calm and be circumspect. Know what you're supposed to do. The Lord is helping someone in Jesus' name to be sober, circumspect. So you must become that thoughtful. It's urgency. I'm still speaking on urgency. Don't be lethargic, slow, sluggish, uninterested. Not too fast and swift. You know what to do. Every time you get along with what you have to do. There are many people who are sluggish with ministry because they were not sober, circumspect. They didn't know what they wanted. They didn't know. But not with you. You know. You know what you ought to be doing per time and per season. You know. So don't be that fellow that just, I don't know. No. Be circumspect. Are you listening? Know what you want and get ahead with it. If we're going to be doing what God calls us to do as a ministry, all right, is to know what we want. And then we work hard towards it. When I started Christ Family on my veranda, I knew what I wanted. I knew what I wanted. I started with just talking to one person, saying, let's do this. And then it became two. So let's do this. And then it became children. And I wasn't this discouraged. No. Some of you easily get discouraged. But don't be like that. And you're not becoming discouraged any longer. You walk circumspectly of God's word. In God's word. Became children. People started joining. But I wasn't going to say, because it had not been 1,000 people, I was going to stop. I was not going to stop. I was going to get ahead and do what God has called me to do. I was going to be circumspect. I was going to be sober, calm and calculated, knowing what I wanted to do, knowing the effect I wanted to create. So in this ministry, you see, we're going to see men in the thousands trooping, several thousands trooping. But until then, we see the numbers flow in, the nations flow in. We're going to be working and working and working and not stopping. Are you listening? See, I just have one disciple. No, that's not one disciple. That's what God is doing. That's what God is doing. I just have two. No, it's not just two. That's what God is doing. So don't easily give up. At least, it's a lot better if the master comes to find you doing something than he'd rather come and find you not doing something. I meet with people every week, few people every week. But I'm circumspect in what I want. And very soon, the entire Ghana is going to be soaked in the gospel. And many youth are going to come to this passion and to this zeal of serving the Lord. I believe it. But until then, I hold on and I keep my eyes on the ball. I hold on and I keep my eyes on the ball. Or you think I don't know what I carry? Sometimes I wake up and I say, thank God for your grace over my life. I know what I carry. I know I'm anointed, people of God. I'm not saying this to you. I say it to myself, I am. But I still want to have it done God's way. And I keep at it. God says, do it with discipleship. I keep it like that. I keep it like that. So you understand. You watch. You're circumspect. And so the Lord is teaching us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let's read Psalm 90 verse 12. It's teaching us to number our days. It's teaching us to number our days. We don't have that much time, people of God. He's teaching us to number our days. It's teaching us to be circumspect, to be urgent, that we will be wise. We are going to apply our hearts to wisdom. See, I know that the times, and we are not living in normal times. I mean, you would be so very much daft to think the times we are in now are just normal times. I mean, that's really daft. We are in very, 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 very serious moments of Jesus' returning. So we work with that mind. So many of us are not numbering our days. Too many live as though this was it all. That's it all. That's all we have. That's all. Hey, Charlie, let's enjoy. Charlie, I hear say some Pizza Hut, they open some Pizza Hut for this corner. Charlie, we could go chill and drink. Charlie, go drink what? I go drink Star. Oh, Charlie, me, I go drink Heineken. Charlie, make we eat, make we enjoy. Charlie, in the afternoon time, watch it. We get some watch it for him. Maybe we go chop for the corner and then chat. Oh, I get some joints before him. Maybe pass that side. See, they are not numbering their days. See, it's time for prayer. Charlie, we know they pray like that too. We will be simple prayer boys. We just did our Father, that we all. We just did one short. You see, that's not the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of the world. Charlie, we see some chick for there. Oh. Charlie, what you go do? Hey, Charlie. This chick, I didn't love him. That's all. That's just, you see, that's all the world is full of now. It's just full of money, girls, entertainment. Money, girls, entertainment. Before you realize, we have somebody where saying, oh, this person is gone to be with the Lord. And sometimes it strikes me like, can you really stand before God? I believe one of the things that God is doing personally in my heart is that He's causing me to see far beyond this world. And I think that's going to be one of the greatest things in my life and ministry. Yes. It's to see far beyond what I have here. Yeah. To see far beyond what I have. And God is doing that with you as well. So that you see far beyond. It's like things here will make very little meaning to you. It will make very little meaning to you. Yeah, make very little meaning. And all you will ever want to do is to be relevant for God. Yeah. That's all I want to do now, is that I want Jesus to look at me and say, that's my guy, that's my boy. I have Pascal. Pascal is going to labor in this regard. I've always wanted that. I've always wanted that. And many of the times when we get to heaven, you will see differences. We're not all going to be the same in heaven. Or you think everybody's going to be the same? If not, we wouldn't have been worrying ourselves. There are going to be men when you see right there in heaven. You'll be amazed. You'll see the glory to which they emit. And the kind of, you know, honor which is on them. You'll be amazed. But you didn't do anything. No, not you. I mean, but somebody, he didn't do anything. I'm careful to use my words, eh? The person just enjoys. And God says, okay, you've come, okay. No, comes like, sit down. There's no joy, there's no excitement at your coming. Not too much angels are, you know, sometimes, eh? I believe sometimes that, imagine Reinhard Bonnke just trooping into heaven's gates. Telling you, there are angels that will literally see him. And I'm sure that they would probably prostrate or like say thank you or like bow to him or, you know, just show that kind of reverence. Because that one is someone that heaven knows. Yeah. In Hebrews, seeing that we are encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses. A great cloud of witnesses. I know the cloud of witnesses there is right in chapter 11. But I also believe that right in heaven are people that stare on. We're encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses. People who are watching from the grandstands. So seeing that we're encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and weight which easily besots us. And run this race. And run this race. I believe that people in the grandstands and saying, and they're cheering us on and saying, people in Christ's family, we've seen things happen in the world. You can also do it. Run and don't stop running. Yeah, I believe there are people like that whose eyes are glued to certain men on the earth. Or you think heaven doesn't know what's happening on earth? They know. They know. Why do you think when a single soul is won, there's great joy? Do you think they don't know who brings joy to them more in heaven? Who brings more parties? Manager just saying, wow, Reinhard Bonnke, this guy is a party DJ in heaven. He stirs up many parties in heaven. Yeah, he stirs up many parties. Monday, there's no Monday in heaven. For example, Monday, there's a party in heaven. Tuesday, there's a party in heaven. Wednesday, party in heaven. So they know that this guy is a party guy. He brings more parties, more drinks, more shawarma, more champagne. That's how heaven knows him. So they know him as somebody who brings great joy to them. Yeah. This one, angels are going to be moving helter-skelter for his sake. Yeah. You're dealing with a soul winner. Dealing with someone who is into ministry. Heaven is moving. The whole heaven. Angels are moving. I can imagine when he sits in a place, how much more angels are guarded and trooded around that place. You think spiritual things are not real? They are very real. Very, very real. Because of him, you'll be shocked that there are angels standing at vantage points. Because of him, you'll be shocked that there are angels before he even goes to a place, you'll be shocked that angels have already gone there to make sure that the spiritual atmosphere is set for his move. You see, these are things we must desire for. These are things we must crave for. Do you understand? Yeah. I'm not saying the things of the world should make no meaning. I'm saying it should make very little meaning to you. And let all that means and matters to you be fulfilling God's plan, walking with God, serving God with your life. These things I keep telling you, every now and then, you meet them. You meet them. When you go, you meet them. You meet them. You know that people that sacrifice great things for the Lord matter most in heaven. They matter most to God. And God sees them and is pleased with them. And is pleased with their work. So don't pity a man who you think is suffering for God. Don't pity him. You are the one that needs to be pitied. You that you think you are okay. You are the one that needs to be pitied. But you don't know. So, why is he suffering for God like me? You are the one that needs to be pitied. It says you think you are rich in goods, but you are poor. You think you are rich. You are poor. You are very poor. You are desolate, full of destitute. So you must come to this place. It's that urgency. That urgency. You must have that urgency. Get urgent about it. Don't play safe. Don't play it safe. You know, one of the things I thought about, and I was like, it will not be a good thing if I went to heaven and I got to know I should have risked more for the work, but I didn't. And then you get to know, because you didn't risk more, you didn't do more, you always kept it safe. And many people are going to have this story. Not anybody here, but many people are going to have. They played it safe when they should have risked it all. They played it safe. They were too calculating. What will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? Where will I sleep? So you're just, because of these things, they are playing it safe and safe and safe and safe. And then you got there and you realize that if you had taken it more seriously, you should have become this. And you see it. And you say, so God, you mean if I had risked, you risked all of these things, I could have become this. So don't wait to be there. And don't wait to know what you should have done. You should just say, I just wanted to be okay. Okay, that's what you had. But somebody is going to be urgent. You have that urgency. You're going to learn to be swift. Because you know there are days to be redeemed. Right? Don't have plans and schemes laid out for this world only and this life only. No. You need to be conscious of our limited time and to plan the eternal, life that we have in Christ. We need to plan for this thing. Let your activities be governed by the consciousness of eternity. Let it be governed. Our last scripture. John chapter 9 verse 4, second to last actually. Let it be governed by the consciousness of eternity. Yes, you'll be working in that big company. You'll have God's favor in that workplace. You'll make money in what you're doing. But those things should not be the reason why you wake up and you're excited to do what you're supposed to do. No, it's that you start working. Start working. You know that there's a time that needs to be redeemed. John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The ninth cometh, no man can work. See, the ninth is that state where everything is dead and done. Nobody can work. When you were supposed to preach to that soul, you didn't preach to him. And you finally hear that this person is no more. That's night. No, you can't work with him. You can't work on him. You can't work with what God has given to you. There is that night that cometh when no one shall be able to work for God. Nobody shall be able to work. The door is going to be completely shut. Yeah. So ninth is that season where we don't want to approach, then we have not done any work. We want to be able to work while it's day. We want to be able to work while we are young. We want to be able to work while we can. We want to be able to work while we are alive. We want to be able to work while God has given us breath and filled us with his spirit. We want to work while we have all the time that we have on our hands. Don't wait till you are 50 before you say, I'm now going to serve God. It's too late. You have wasted many of your years. wasted many of your years. But the Lord is helping someone to redeem the time. Redeem the time. It's to be, to know what season you are. And you work. Ministry, you're working. Redeem the time. Know when it is you can be much more effective, even in the gifts of the Spirit, is to redeem the time. Know when it is you are supposed to write more songs. It is redeeming the time, because there's a time that will come you might not be able to have all the luxury to do what you are supposed to do. Yes. Know that time when you can serve God and you can preach and you can teach. Know that time. Know that time when you can be going up and down for the work of ministry. Know that time. For some of us, our ninth is very funny. Our ninth is very funny. It comes suddenly. And then you can't work any longer. Somebody receives wisdom. You're receiving wisdom. On redeeming the time and responding urgently. So I've been speaking on this since I think Sunday, so that we can come to this awareness of that urgency. See, there's no evangelism today. Everybody's happy. Yay, there's no evangelism today. See, there's evangelism today. Oh. You're not saying it with your mouth, but your heart is not happy that that thing is happening. It's to be just not urgent. So we must begin to work. Are you listening? Who is going to begin to work as though there was a little time on their hands? Respond to ministry and respond to it early. Don't despise it. Respond. Don't let somebody tell you you are a girl, so you can't become a... Hey, who told you that? There is no male or female. There is no male or female. God sees us. He sees us all the same. Sometimes I look at the ladies. They're like, I'm a lady, so... You are going to be fighting with the same reward system with any guy you see around. You are not a lady different, so God sees you as a weaker vessel. He doesn't see you as a weaker vessel. And besides, there are ladies that have labored very hard. Annie McPherson, Catherine Coma, they labored. You are also here. Say, mine is just to get married and raise my 4 kids. Oh, you are a waste. You are just not serious. God has called me to only my family. God has called you to only your family. Only your, just two children you have. That's your family. He has called you to only your family. He has not called you to preach to anybody. You, only you is your family. No. Don't you see it doesn't make sense? 2 against 7 billion of people that need to hear salvation. It doesn't make sense. So you are not only called to your family. Are you listening? There's nowhere in the scripture that says you are called to your family. Or you are called to only your children. Say, my ministry is my children alone. Please, no. Please, 1,000 times no. 1,000 times no. You are called to ministry. You are not called to your family. You are not called to your children alone. If not, we all could have been called to our children. Do you see that? We all can be called to our children and to our families. And we'll say, oh, we're just going to work hard and support our children and make our families blossom. And that's also God's plan. Please know, anytime you hear this, is not entirely true. They are part of the plan. They are not the plan. The main standing plan. I know somebody is going to say, ah, why? But God calls women to families. Please know, He calls women to ministry. Their family are in the ministry. They are not exempted from the ministry. Are you listening? So redeem the time. Be urgent about it. Be urgent. Be urgent. Be urgent. Be urgent. Be urgent. I'm telling you, let me tell you something. You see, the ladies and the men, you know, oftentimes they are the same. But there are stronger influences that ladies naturally have on men. So if ladies say, we are going to cause God's work to grow and to multiply, they can do it. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. So the ladies, when we have meetings and we want to have people trooping, I'm telling you, you are going to do majority of the work. Yeah. So anytime you see a ministry that's not really doing well, is the ladies are not effective. They are not effective. They are just not. They are not interested. Ladies interested. They can go and call people and assembly. You'll be shocked. Okay, now that's being biased. But it's true. They have an influence. They sort of have an influence. That's how come the lady is able to sort of influence Eve to take a decision he didn't want to take. There is an influence. So when we have meetings and you see that the place is full and packed, you check it. Majority of the people are going to be ladies influencing ladies and men. Yeah. So the ladies, more depends also on you. Don't just sit there and say it's just. So more lies on all of us. The ladies are now quiet and they are shocked that Pastor is saying more wants to lie on us. It's like they are quiet. They are very quiet and they are thinking. I like that. Think about it. It wasn't the lady that saw Jesus on his first resurrection. It wasn't the lady that preached first the gospel that he is risen. So what's your own? In fact, they told men. The men didn't believe it. They said, God forbid. This thing is not true. You people, you like talking too much. We always say you people like talking too much. The talk is too much. And the ladies are saying, no, we saw him. It's true. The thing is true. They say, please, I don't like this talk too much. Say, I saw him. I saw him. I saw him. That's a lady. I saw him. I saw him. The man is risen. So we always said it. We always say it. We always do say it. We'll forever say it. These ladies have a problem. But it's true. Today is moving in your favor. Eh? It's moving in your favor. So begin to see yourself as a very important part of a ministry. Are you listening? Ladies, are you listening to me? Many of the times when the ministry is not working, the ladies are not working. It's just true. It's true. So we respond urgently. The guys, we are already doing some, and we can do even much more. Right? We can do much more. So there is an urgency to it. Listening, there's an urgency to it. So we must work the works of Him who sent us while it's day. The night is coming when nobody can work. Nobody can pray. Nobody can study. You can't even preach any longer. Night has fallen. But we're going to work while it's day. We're going to work while it's day. We're going to work while it's day. While it's great day, we're going to work. We are going to work while it's day. I trust God for this. We'll work while it's day. We'll work while it's day. We'll work while we can. We'll give our best to it while we can. We'll preach while we can. We'll prophesy while we can. We'll teach while we can. We'll lay hands on the sick while we can. For night is coming when nobody else can work. I see the Lord raising workers for the Lord in the day. Yes, that's what I see. That God is raising workers. He's raising workers. He's raising workers. While it's day, He's raising workers while it's day. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you that you're raising an amazing people who love you, who are zealous about you. We're raising up people while it's day. While it's day, you're raising up people. While it's day, you're raising up people. While it's day, you're raising up people. You're raising up a mighty army for yourself. Men who labor, men who work, loving you, just give off their hearts to you. And they will work for you. They will work with you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, thank you for wonderful things that you are doing in our lives. For great things that you will do. That you are causing our eyes to see. In Jesus' name. As we give ourselves to this work of our ministry, many more come to your knowledge. Many more are raised. We'll have many more ministers changed. The nation is never going to be the same. And we'll have many more impacted in several other places and nations. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.